Welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast, episode 204. What was now. I'm your host, Kyle McLemore, and of course, joined with me is Micah McCallan.
Dude, time's a hell of a drug, man.
Yeah, for real.
And Michael Greenwell.
That's me. That was probably like the longest cold open we've ever done. Did you say 204, though? Is that right?
207.
Yeah. Oh, 207.
You said 204. It's 207. Yeah.
Well, I meant to say happy 420, because...
That
Jesus Christ, what a day it's been. Like, I was telling Micah earlier, I tried to put on a t-shirt and realized it was actually a pillowcase, so I almost accidentally killed myself inside of a pillowcase.
Dude.
I wouldn't have been able to get out of there.
Can you... That would have been the hardest phone call to ever get, because I would never believe what I was being told. Like, you would the amount of proof I would need to know that you killed yourself by trying to put on a pillow, like,
yeah.
I would have to be at the morgue with your parents being like, and like, what? It was what?
It's not like I would have, like suffocated or anything.
I
definitely
would
have knocked myself out in a panic, I assume.
So he was murdered with a pillowcase is what you're saying.
Yeah, so it would.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
A bandit broke in and pillowcased him? Like a...
It's funny because I'm actually wearing the shirt that is the exact same color as that pillowcase right now. It was like, I swore it was this shirt. So I don't know.
It's just the pillowcase. You just turned it into a shirt.
I want to get a pillowcase turned into
got
a
out.
Shirt for you so bad now.
I just got out of the pillowcase and now it's a shirt.
Anyways, I'm buying you the nicest pillowcase fashioned into a shirt ever for Christmas.
Sick. Can't wait. Now it's time for topics. For today's topic...
What? Yep.
Fallout.
Yes.
Please. We're going to talk about Fallout again. Can you believe it? Like, all of a sudden, all the Fallout games are now the greatest thing on Earth. But mostly in particular because Amazon was like, hey, we're going to make a Fallout series, and everyone's super fucking into that shit.
Oh, yeah, because it was actually...
And it's really good.
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to go into spoilers, especially
no
some
spoilers
of
at all.
Some of the revelations that happened during this are fucking insane. There's actually, and the fact that this is the canon show actually blows me away, because there's implications about very major plot points of like the universe as a whole that get revealed that I think is fucking fascinating. And I went into the show with such a low bar of like expectations of like, well, everything video game related sucks dick, and came and left the end of the show being like, that was damn near a masterpiece. That was fucking excellent.
Yeah, they nailed it. They, Jonathan Nolan and Todd Howard, spoke on IGN about how the decision to make it canon was like the hard decision, because it's like, dude, how careful you have to be then to like stay true to everything, especially because they treated the show as like an entry. Like, this could be considered a Fallout 5 because it is a continuation of the timeline.
Yep.
Like, it pushes everything forward. Like, it's bold, man. But it worked, because like, if it would suck to have this show not affect or be canon to the games in any way, because it wouldn't feel the same, you know.
I hope that Fallout 5 actually takes place after this, so we get a continuation of this story as well. Like, The way they're tying a lot of stuff together and big revelations based around that, I really hope we get to see more of that later on.
Well, so
yeah, when they release the game in 2056.
Yeah, yes, that's the problem, is we're on the Elder Scrolls cycle now.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do about that, though, because it is a very large studio. They have several teams.
Give it to Obsidian, you son of a bitch.
Dude,
you're
Obsidian
both...
isn't making good games either. What the fuck?
But they made New Vegas.
Yeah, sure. Like, okay, so... Bethesda made fucking Fallout 3, Fallout 4, and Skyrim, but they also made fucking Fallout 76 when it released. I know it's better now. And they also made, fucking Starfield, and that game sucks ass. Like, Obsidian, sure, they made New Vegas, which was a buggy fucking piece of shit. It just had a really good story. But they also made, the Outer Worlds, which was kind of, like, not wonderful.
It was mid, but they still didn't have, like, the creation engine and the models and stuff that Bethesda had.
They're also working on fucking Avowed, and that game looks... mid-tier as shit as well.
Yeah, it does.
And Outer Worlds 2 is coming out, so that's, they got a sequel to that as well.
So, like,
true.
I think Bethesda should still do it, but like I have a feeling that because of the success of Fallout currently in the show, they're probably going to end up fast tracking Fallout 5 a little more. Like they're probably going to split their teams up to be like Elder Scrolls and Fallout simultaneously being developed.
That's what should happen.
I have a feeling about that.
Because we're getting a season 2 of the show, so you have to.
Yeah, like, we need something.
By the time a game would come out, you could potentially be on a season 3-4 of the show.
Sure. Like,
we can get that. Give us that Fallout 3 remake or whatever the fuck that was on that leak forever ago.
Yeah, 3
what
years
I
ago.
Hope though is that they don't try to milk this too hard. Like, I think a second season's a really good idea and to continue the story, but I think they should probably finish it after that and then just move on. Because 5 seasons of a show like this will end up becoming the magical wear off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm curious if it'll be like a, hey, we're going to like finish it out and make it a full story, or if it's going to be like, hey, we're The Walking Dead now. This is what you know and love forever.
Exactly. That's not what I want. I don't want a Walking Dead situation, you know?
Yeah.
I want
be
like I want that like tight 2-season show, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were very, I feel like this season, if you're a Fallout fan, if you look back on the season, like they still did a lot but still kept so much to the chest. Like there are tons of enemy types we have not seen. Like basic, like simple enemy types we have not seen.
And big ones, which they did allude to at the very end. Yeah, which I thought was cool. I was like, oh,
yeah,
all we're getting? Are you serious?
They can do a lot, man, with what's left in the world of Fallout. Like, I would... two seasons, sure, great.
Yeah.
3, that's about where I would feel like is like, all right, 3 is like, I feel like the max
maybe
you
three,
can get
yeah.
away.
It depends on how they do it, I guess.
Well, you got to figure it takes longer to create the show the first time. Like they have the Brotherhood of Steel armor made. They have
a lot
of these sets made. They have like so getting
just
back in and like getting things rolling. Like probably not.
Yeah, and everyone involved seems very like happy and involved.
Yeah.
Like all the actors did incredible fucking jobs. Walter Goggins as a ghoul was like all that really needed to get me in.
Yeah,
I was like okay, yeah.
Walter
cool.
Goggins as the ghoul is like the pinnacle of the show. Like
absolutely. Well, I mean,
he just
chooses
it, you know.
Like 3 main characters that you're following around, and each one of them hits in like the best ways. It's like here's 3 different builds for a fucking Fallout character.
Yeah.
As far as like that's kind of how I'm viewing it, and
true,
it's phenomenal watching their stories like intertwine and like go back and forth.
Dude, the side
good shit.
The side characters stole the show too. My apologies, Mike.
Yeah.
The side characters like Thaddeus. Thaddeus blew like he was hilarious.
I love Thaddeus.
Johnny Pemberton, dude, is a stand-up comedian. He nailed this character.
Yeah.
Like
that was very cool.
His story is very
the main character's younger brother, I forget his name, also does an incredible job.
Oh,
the
Norm.
Guy who's like Norm, yeah. Holy shit. He's so fucking good.
Yeah.
I love that it's actually very well written because none of the characters are perfect in a very large sense of that they're constantly making bad decisions in really, really interesting ways. And a lot of people were complaining about Maximus about how he's so stupid. And I'm like, yeah, he's written to be though. Like the mistakes he made,
what the fuck?
All the mistakes he makes are so believable, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah. Like,
very, very well written.
It's just enough fan service where it doesn't feel like it's overdone. I don't feel like
I'm rolling my eyes ever.
I'm always excited when that fan service
just
happens.
They're just living in the world. They're not like pointing stuff out. They just literally exist here, and I believe it. Like it's so good. Oh my god, I can't wait for more. I was catching up on Invincible as well. Like that's on Amazon too. So, except you know, fuck commercials. We talked about that. They were like, "Hey, we snuck some commercials in there. If you want, unless you want to pay a little more money, you know, we'll take you out back and fucking." you watch this fucking Colgate commercial. Watch it. Toothpaste. You need that shit. don't.
But
anyways, Invincible. Like,
what am I supposed to do? I have to watch it.
Well, to continue, but part of the Fallout thing is like the Fallout of. Fallout is that now the sales of Fallout games is like exponentially increased by thousands of percent.
Like, that's right, Mike.
It's kind of insane. Like even people who already own the games are like the player counts are up. Kirsten's literally behind me playing Fallout New Vegas right now. Like,
and for the low price of like 3 real life bottle caps, you can fucking get the entire collection that they have out there. Everything's
so
on super duper sale right now because they're all old as fuck games.
76 is having some of its highest player counts right now. It's kind of insane.
I tried it out, and I was honestly surprised. Like, I just wanted to see what it was like, because I actually played it when it first came out because they did a free weekend, and I was like, well, I'll poke around and see what it's like. And I hated it. Like, it looked like shit. It ran like shit. The literal quests were just going from audio log to audio log, listening to people ramble about shit I was not interested in. And it was not a good time. But this time, I loaded it up. Fortunately, I remembered my Bethesda shit. That was an annoying thing. Just like, log into your Bethesda account. I'm like, okay. And I tried what I thought it might be, and it just happened to work. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, thank Christ.
Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Thank Christ. And it logged me in. I did the opening sequence again, which I still think is really bad. Like, my favorite thing about a Fallout game is how it starts.
Yep.
Like, even New Vegas, even though it doesn't start in a vault, like, it still starts with a fucking bang, pun intended.
Yeah.
But this one is just like, hey, you're in a vault, and Reclamation Day, like, has come, and, like, everyone's actually, like, taking over the world. And it's just very boring. Like, no one's there. There's no NPCs. You literally just walk out, and there continues to be nobody out there. But now, with the modern stuff involved, like, there actually are NPCs. They're just like, hey, go over here. Go check this out. Hey, have you heard of the Cult of the Mothman? That sounds fucking crazy. I'm like, here's a Fallout game. That's what I'm talking about.
Cult of the Mothman, like, is, like, such an interesting concept in a Fallout universe.
And there's somebody to talk to about it who's not a player, who's like, hey, I'm going to put this armor down here, right, enjoy it, and I'm gonna shoot you as soon as you pick it up. Like, fuck off. I'm trying to play a Fallout game, but I haven't seen a ton of people. It is very well spread out, but, and it looks beautiful. Like, the gunplay is amazing, all that good shit. But I did, of course, end up going back and firing up New Vegas for the first time. I've not actually played New Vegas ever. I haven't even hit start on the thing. So now that I've built my character and made a few hours of progress, I'm like, holy shit, this is the vibe. Oh my god.
New Vegas is so good.
I'm excited to dive more into it. Got all the DLC for it. I'm going to play it for as long as I feel like, I guess. And then I'm probably going to try out 4 because they have the next gen patch coming out on the 25th.
That's what I'm waiting on.
For the PlayStation 5, and I'm going to download it there, play it on my big TV. I'll probably just play both simultaneously, honestly. I got fucking 3 downloaded for no reason. I don't know why.
3's great.
If anything, I might just do the intro, because that's probably, like, one of my favorite parts of the game, is, like, the way they actually do the tutorial and everything is so fucking cool.
I think it's wild that you're such, like, a big Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim, or just Elder Scrolls fan in general, and, like, you've never finished a Fallout game is, like, interesting to me.
I always got bored halfway through. Like, something about it was just like, man, I sure am wading through bullshit all the time. Especially in 3. Like, 3 was just like, man, this looks like fucking brown. This is crazy.
Yeah, brown and green.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, well, in New Vegas, you get light brown and orange.
Yeah.
True. So that's fun. I'm going to check it out. Keep going with it. Of course, there's some other games that I've played. Do you guys want to keep talking about Fallout and what you've been playing with it?
I mean, I haven't played any Fallout. Just watched the show. I will be playing Fallout later, though.
Yeah. Are you waiting for the next-gen patch thing?
For sure, yeah. Once that drops, I'm going to download it. I might wait a little, like a week, to get some mods fixed and then download those mods again and then probably play from there. I don't like in Bethesda games, people do, like, a lot of, like, non-vanilla mods that, like, add a shitload of stuff to the game. I don't really like doing stuff like that, but I like doing mods that fix things, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't use any of the mods, though. I may end up having to do, like, the the fixed crashing mods and stuff for New Vegas, just in case.
New Vegas needs those unofficial patch mods, yeah.
It's so fucking crazy.
They're really bad.
Yeah.
Vegas is a buggy piece of shit.
So if you actually, one of the fixes I had to do for New Vegas just this morning was go into the NVIDIA control panel, go into Fallout New Vegas's program settings, and set the frame rate tick to 64. Because it runs at 64 ticks for some reason. So that's the way you can stop that game from stuttering when you play it. So if you're having that issue, just do that. Because that's what I had to do.
I'm going to have to listen back to this because it does look a little shitty here and there. Like, oh boy. But I just figured that was just the game. I'm like, man, I can't believe everyone loves this bullshit game.
sure, the game isn't, like, you know, you got 18 months to make a game. Like, rough, dude.
True.
Like, the way they had to turn that game around was brutal. So,
but with patching, I don't understand. Go back and fix it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well,
like they're doing. They're now doing with Fallout 4. Fallout
Thank 4 God.
Is finally finished. You can now play it. I did get the. I'm gonna play that on the console in my living room because I just like to play on. I want to play it on the big TV. But I got the season pass with it and all that stuff. So
nice.
Good to go. Excited for it.
It's gonna be a good get time. To play Far Harbor.
I might get sucked into that and get pulled away from Dragon's Dogma 2. You guys want to talk about that?
I want to talk about Dragon's Dogma 2.
Dragon's Dogma 2. I got to say, I'm going to go ahead and bitch for a little bit. I told Michael already about this experience that I had. I think I even told Josh. But there's been often times where I fire this game up and just turn it right back off because I'm like, I'm not in the mood for this.
I've done it too, actually.
It disrespected my time so fucking hard in a way that I'm just like, oh my god, I don't know if I'm going to keep going with this game.
Okay.
I did the Follow the Beggar quest, which I'm sure you guys have either done or heard of. It's like a very early quest.
Yeah, I didn't have the experience in the first city.
It's like, follow that fucking beggar. At some point, he is going to walk around and you need to figure out what he's doing with his life. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. And finally I saw him like run away. I kept doing it wrong where the guy was like running back, or actually I was doing it right every time. I watched him run away and lock himself in a house eventually, but apparently you have to wait for him to leave again before you can go in there and like get the thing you need for it. And I finally like looked up a guy and it's like, you gotta wait like 5-10 minutes for him to leave. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Fine, okay, I'll sit here for 5 or 10 minutes. And then he leaves the house and I go in and get the thing I need, and it's like, now follow him to where he's gonna go with this. You gotta give these like beggar robes to somebody. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I followed him what felt like another 10 minutes away, like him just casually walking over to this rich guy house or whatever. I'm like, ooh, he's a rich guy. Oh, but he's begging. Oh, I'm like, what a fun quest. Great. I love this. It's taking forever. And I do that and finish it, do everything I need to. And I felt like a weight was lifted off of me. I was like, oh my God, I'm done with this bullshit. Literally follow this guy quest.
Yeah.
And then I immediately go to the, mild spoiler, this is just another little side quest thing here, the Phantom Ox Cart quest, which
Dude.
Is follow the fucking Phantom Ox Cart.
Fuck and the fucking Phantom Ox Cart quest. Go ahead, sorry, I'll say my piece after a while.
Okay, so I followed it, which thankfully it will teleport you to where you need to go at some point. But I'm playing a role-playing game, and there's a part where like, hey, we're going to beat up on these pawns, and what you have to do, apparently, is let them beat up on these pawns and just let them fucking do it so you can continue on with the quest. What I did with my character was go, not today! I'm going to fight these dudes and make them not beat up my pawns, and that just locked the entire quest down. Like, I killed those NPCs, the cart was just sitting there, I couldn't go anywhere with it, and I was just like, okay, well, this quest is still here. These guys are dead. It's giving me an option to like res them back with a wake stone, which I did eventually use all my wake stones to res all of them back. They were not aggroed on me, but they also weren't doing anything either. And so I reloaded. Of course, it auto saves instantaneously. And so I was right back where I was. I was right there where the ox cart was. Like, the quest was still locked out. I'm like, okay, that means I'm gonna have to do the thing where I load my end save, right? The last time I did an end save.
No.
Did my end save, loaded my end save, which will delete your autosave. So everything I had done between my end save and then was gone forever. And I wake up in the inn, and I notice on the loading screen, because you know on the loading screen it'll like give you a tip about the quest you're doing currently. And the tip, of course, said, follow the beggar.
No. No.
Like, I can't do this. The good thing is that I knew exactly what the fuck to do. And I didn't have to wait on him to walk. I didn't actually have to follow him. I just had to wait for him to leave the house. I grabbed the shit. I ran exactly to where I fucking needed to go. Like, here's these fucking ropes. I knew exactly what to do with the ox cart thing. And I went back. I'm like, all right, fuck up these pawns, I guess. And crossed my arms and watched my pawns get fucked up. I'm like, all right, we're going to finish this quest. And it was a shitty end of the quest because they kicked my ass because I was an archer and I hate that class. Anyways.
No, that fight at the end is actually really tough. I got my ass kicked too.
Especially as an archer. What the fuck? Oh my god.
Archer's fucking pretty good.
I got like stun locked in the corner for like 3 minutes. I just kept eating fruit. I'm like, I hate this.
I was a fighter and I had the same problem.
Jesus Christ.
Because I was doing that like rotation like counter thing. Yeah. But I had to do it so much that I just ran out of stamina over and over again. I was like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. The thing is, you're not fighting enemies, you're fighting actual NPCs, so they fucking whoop on you. Like, god damn it.
You get to the wrong neighborhood. Yeah. So I'll say that I fucking love Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm having an absolute blast with it. But it has a really similar problem in that the side quests are sometimes absolute slog fests of like running around the map way too many times. Like, and in fact, there was something that was really nice about Dragon's Dogma 1 is that some quests would just finish and you would just get the reward. You didn't have to turn anything in. There's far less of those in this.
Yeah.
But the main story is super good. The combat is just absolutely fucking incredible. The vocations are super sick. I do have some problems with the way some vocations are unlocked and the maester skills that are involved with them and how to unlock those is kind of bullshit. And sometimes it's too easy, so there's no balance. I don't agree with the fact that you can just do a quest random to unlock a maester skill, use it, and then load into that vocation for the first time and have the strongest skill for that vocation. That's so stupid.
True.
There are some things I really don't like about this game. It is definitely not like an A-plus game by any means, but neither was Dragon's Dogma 1, and it's one of my favorite games of all time. So, like, I think it needs that big patch, like, in the same way that Dragon's Dogma 1 had Dark Arisen. I think it just needs that thing that puts it over the edge to become a great game. I feel like it's marred with the same history that the first one was.
It needs more monsters. I feel like the enemy variety isn't very huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, because I felt like one had a pretty good variety of shit. Especially
really
like
think about
granted,
it.
Granted, the DLC had a lot of extra shit.
I was about to say, think about it, because the vanilla Dragon's Dogma had the exact same fucking shit we're fighting right now. There was almost nothing different. It's goblins,
Hydras.
It's bandits. Well, you have Hydras. That's like pretty much it that I can think of, at least.
Well, there's also the cockatrice.
Oh, is there no cockatrice in this?
No, and there's no beholders.
Unfortunate. The beholders I'm not surprised about, though. But
they're
fuck
so
beholders.
Cool.
They weren't fun to fight anyway.
Oh, I thought they were so cool, though.
So
stab it right in the eye. Come on.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fuck me.
But
in vanilla, we have Garms and the Skeleton Knight things. Those weren't in vanilla and Dragonstone.
Those are pretty cool.
Those were in Dark Arisen, so...
True. There'll be more, I'm sure.
But the
they
enemy
put out like a poll for like, well, what kind of DLC do you guys want? And
more monsters.
Capcom's pretty
me.
Good about listening to their audience, so hopefully
that is true.
Get,
yes.
Hopefully it'll get optimized well, and we'll get some cool ass DLC. Maybe.
I think they had a pretty short-sighted vision for this, where they were like, well, we'll just do exactly what we did again, but just like up-res and
but
like
bigger.
Yeah, they should have did more than that, unfortunately. But I love what they have given us. I'm having a blast with it. I genuinely love the game, but yeah, it's marred with some problems. I can definitely see why some people dislike it, in the same way that I see why people dislike the first one.
When I was first getting into it, the first 10 hours was total bliss, because it felt like Elden Ring and The Witcher and like these other great games that just Skyrim, like that sense of exploration, fighting monsters, the unique ways to fight them, like running off a cliff and like hitting something in the eye and you land in a cool anime ass way and you and your team fighting together. Like, I had a blast with the game right up until the end, because the end of the game snuck up on me in a way that I wasn't really expecting. And then
it's not very long.
Without spoiling anything, I ended up fighting the end boss like 3 times in a row, like back to back to back in one session, and I was like, I think I'm just doing something wrong, and just had to put it down. And so once I figured out what I was doing wrong, I went back, and now I am in what I would assume to be the end game of this game, because now the Dragon's
Dogma 2... I had the end game spoiled for me, and I'm kind of wish I hadn't, because it looks insane.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
don't tell me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything else. It's just that's where I'm at now with the game, and I'm kind of like, oh... shit, there's so much I didn't do. Like, there's like,
honestly, I wonder if it's one of those, because
this new game plus
Dragon's Dogma 1 was very much like, I get to speculate, so that's fun. but in the first game, it was very much about, like, New Game Plus was very much a thing you did. Mm-hmm. And this, I wonder if this has, like, a Armored Core, Nier Automata style, like, hey, there's more when you play it again.
No, you know? It doesn't. It's just like Dragon's Dogma 1. I did find out that it's just like Dragon's Dogma 1. So there's like an endgame thing, like, post the dragon in the same way that Dragon's Dogma 1 did with the Everfall, if that makes sense. But it's not the Everfall. Like, it's something completely different. Okay. And I don't know what causes it. I've just seen what it looks like.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
And it looks super interesting, but people are basically complaining that, like, it's super easy to just kind of finish everything in the game after, like, two playthroughs if you missed anything on the first playthrough, and there's nothing to do after that, which was the same problem the first game had.
True. Yeah.
Until Dark Arisen.
It has one of the coolest... it has one of the coolest, like, elven cities. Like, little elven...
You think so?
I thought it was just a cool way... I just thought it was a cool way to, like, introduce it and, like... I would, like, when you walked into it, I was like, oh shit, like, it really blended in. Like, this is dope. Like, I just thought it was really cool. Like,
yeah, I like the fact that nobody speaks English too.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I just thought that was a really cool little touch.
It feels so dorky to me. I don't know. It reminds me of, like, it feels like here's suddenly, like, a Legend of Zelda little market tucked away in the corner.
It felt a little Lord of the Rings to me, which is why I liked it.
I had somebody on my team who could speak Elvish, so I could understand what they were saying.
Yeah.
Which no one seemed to give a shit that you were there. I just thought it was very funny. They're like, oh, you're a human. Oh, crazy. And they're like, you want to buy or sell shit? You want to stay in this inn? Like, yeah, it's just all the same. Like, same stuff, really.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. Yeah. I want to get back to Warrior. I still think Warrior is probably my favorite class.
Dude, wow, what a fucking glow up. Like, Warrior sucked dick in the first game, and it's a fucking amazing class in this one. Holy shit, it's so fun.
Yeah.
Probably Mystic Spear Hand and Fire.
The Gut Sword. Oh, yeah?
The Gut Sword? Where was that?
It's in one of the, I think it's in the checkpoint area. It's one of the merchants there. Okay. They straight up have the Gut Sword, and it's even like, this was made with three cores. I'm like, that's so fucking cool. Look at this shit. And I get swinging around fast as fuck now because I got all these abilities. And my reach is crazy because my character model is as tall as you can get it. And I'm like, oh my god. This is so fun. I see an ogre, I can just destroy it immediately.
Yeah, like, for real. That's how I feel about Magic Archer. I picked up Magic Archer, and it's an absolute fucking blast, just like in the first game. It's a little different, but not really. I love it. It's so fucking good. I haven't played Mystic Spearhand yet, but I've seen how it plays, which plays like kind of like an Insect Glaive in Monster Hunter, or just a Dragoon from, like, Final Fantasy. It kind of has that same vibe. And I haven't played Trickster, which looks really interesting as well.
Yeah, I've heard Trickster is a little underwhelming.
Yeah, I haven't tried that one out either.
I didn't level it up all the way, but it feels a little underwhelming.
Apparently that one's a lot about, like, just manipulating the battlefield because you don't actually have any attacks or something like that. So I'm curious. I'm definitely going to try it out along with Mystic Spearhand. I almost have Archer leveled up all the way. I kind of want to do all of them eventually. And Archer's my least favorite so far. I really fucking hate it. Get shit kicked out of me. All I want to do is be a warrior and smash stuff.
Just move on then, because I did the same thing. I was having not a lot of fun with fighter, and I just moved on to warrior instead. And just
I'm right
blast.
There.
Just come
I'm,
back I'm, to it later, you know?
I'm at level 8. I'm like right there. I'm like, I might as well just stick it out.
It just feels good to be able to crit shot, like, things yourself and, like, knock them down.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That does feel good.
It definitely gets better as you go.
Yeah. I love Archer. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that long draw ability where you just, like, drain all your stamina and you can manually
heaven shot
that dude. That shit is so fun,
bro. It's gross.
If Magic Archer is more of that, I really need to get that, because that's the one class I haven't unlocked yet.
Magic Archer has a skill, it's Maester skill, which can just straight up one shot damn near anything in the game. So I'm pretty much not using it. But what it does is, like, you as you charge it, it takes away your max health. So it's not just hurting you and leaving gray health. No, it's taking away loss health.
Whoa.
All the way down. And you can just straight up kill yourself with it if you continue charging it. But if you take it from full down to nothing, you'll just one shot a Drake straight up. But then you can't even heal after that. You just you're just now in one shot range until you go rest. So it's fucking crazy. I tried it out and I was like, I'm never using that again. That was wild.
Have you guys seen the one shot arrow they have in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... the Maker's Finger. Yeah, that was in the first game too.
Okay. Like, did you guys see some of the developers talking about that online? Talking about like how bonkers it is that they have something like that in their game. Because like, just like from a developing standpoint, they're like, this item could be a nightmare. Like, you could fuck up so many things about a game with something like this.
You can only have one though.
Yeah, like that's just, I love that. I think that's so cool. I bought that immediately. I was like, fuck yeah, I don't know if I'll ever use this, but that's cool as fuck.
Have you guys done anything with the Sphinx yet?
No, not yet.
Because
I found it. That's
I haven't
crazy.
Looked for it yet either.
I went searching for it, and I eventually found it kind of on accident. I was just like, what's up here? There's got to be something up here. And I was like, I hope it's... And I found a bunch of cool shit. I had a blast. Like, it's basically in between Vermund and Checkpoint.
Okay.
There's like the northern mountains. There's just so much shit up there. I spent like a day and a half of playing
this
game up in there.
Is that where it's all foggy and stuff?
No, but that is up there too, but it's even further than that.
Oh, fuck.
Like, it's massive, but... I won't say where the Sphinx is otherwise.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's just in the general direction. I did all of the riddles that for her there, and the Sphinx is fucking wicked, like, Uncanny Valley creepy, and also weirdly hot.
There it is.
Wood.
Sphinx mommy.
Wood. I showed Joe what the Sphinx looks like, and he was like, wood.
Sphinx wish mommy.
Of course he was.
But her voice doesn't, it's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like weird, shrieky, like witchy. She's like all prim and proper and shit. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, weird. God.
Yeah.
It looked creepy in the trailers.
Yeah.
It's cool as shit, though.
Let's go.
It's a cool game.
I had to look up one of the riddles, though. There's like, there's no fucking way I'm figuring this out. And when I found out what it was, I was like, how the fuck was I supposed to know to do that? I did do the rest of them on my own, and I felt really smart for a couple of them.
Fuck yeah.
Cool. If only I could feel smart ever again. Oh, well. Warrior life for me. Big bonk.
Bonk. Unga. And I can't stress this enough. Bunga.
Can you fight her?
I assume so. I didn't try.
You can't fight her. That's what a lot of people have been using the unending arrow.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah. I was like,
there you
go. Man.
Yeah. Apparently, there are some things to it. Yeah.
Can you make a replica of it?
I don't believe you can.
You can only hold one at a time. And there's something different about the forgeries in this than the first one. In the first one, most of your forgeries, almost every single one, would literally be a carbon copy of the item. And in this, it's like misspelled versions of the items that don't work. Like, a fairy stone is spelled with an I instead of a Y, so it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
A port crystal is like... different. It's like a rock with just some liquid in it. Like, but it actually is a great
Goth
solution.
Goth girls love it, though.
It's a great and dangerous solution to a couple of other quests, though, where, like, you can give somebody a forgery of an item, but sometimes they fucking know it's a forgery.
Yeah.
And they
had, like, such a panic moment doing that, like, because I did that one quest.
The first time it introduces you to it, it's like, hey, do some forgery shit. Yeah. You're like, okay. And then you give it to the guy, and he's like, cool, come with me, let's go get it verified. And I was like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? What do you mean? And then we get there, and I'm like, hey, man, come on, like, do me a favor. And he's like, well, I'm a reputable businessman. And I was like, all right, fine, here's a little more. And he goes, well, I mean, I can't just, I mean, this word's going to get out. Like, I can't have this. And I was like, I gave that guy like 20,000 gold.
Well, you give him 12,000 gold because I did the same shit.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, like, he's not a reputable businessman because he made the fucking replica.
I know,
like, you did this, you son of a bitch. You know it's fake. You got.
I was like, did I just get had by both of these motherfuckers? Like,
you spend 12,000 gold, and as a reward, you get 12,000 gold. So as long as you have it, you kind of make out with it. So it's really weird. Ugh, what a goofy ass game. I love it.
See, but things like that, like those are special moments of the game that I really, really like. They were really smart encounters between like NPCs and how the quests roll out. A lot of side quests turn into these really interesting stories if you follow along. Most of them don't, though. Most of them are just bullshit fetch quests that I fucking hate. But when it does pay off, the payoff is just so well worth it. And just exploring, the best part of the game is just fighting and exploring.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. What a vast, giant world with really interesting sights. They're like every corner you look in that you're like, there's something up there. They're almost 99% of the time is something up there, you know?
The beginning area, the entire area up until Batal, or the checkpoint, is peak fantasy forest setting.
So fucking like, good.
It's so good. It's so fun to just like when it's nice and sunny out and you're just running along through the trees and you get fucking drop kicked by a troll and you stand up and you're like, let's go again, bitch. And he's already running at you and you're like, I'm going to get drop kicked again. And he drop kicks you again and you fly through three trees and you land and you're like, I'm almost dead. This is hilarious. Dude. Like the game is so funny. Like out of this world funny. Like it gets...
I had a moment with a troll where he was on top of like a little house in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, what are you doing up there? And he looks at me and he drop kicks me from the top of the house, from the top ropes.
From the top ropes.
And sends me flying off a cliff that's behind me.
Yes.
And it just straight up killed me. I was just like, what the fuck was that?
It's so funny, man.
I had a Minotaur come up and charge and hit me, and in a way that I thought the game had glitched, fucking moon gravity cheats were on or something, and I was like fucking soaring through the sky, and I was to the point where I was unlocking parts of the map I had never been to, and I was like literally looking at my mini-map fill up this straight line across it, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna, like, worse than dying, I was like, I'm gonna get lost, like, I don't know where the fuck I am.
Dude, the
but I
Minotaur,
ended up landing and surviving it and making my way back. Really
yeah,
dumb. The Minotaur has one of the coolest fight or like animations I've seen in a while, which is when he makes his his skid mark like U-turn or whatever. Like he's that tripping. Looks so cool. Like I love that. He showed up in the middle of the town, which was terrifying.
Oh my god,
that's
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah, he showed up in the middle. Minotaur showed up in the middle of town. That was a crazy fight. He was like breaking stalls and they were flying up in the air and shit. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, I would have never expected this to happen. And it's like, he has repercussions in this little area.
I had a troll do the same thing, show up in the city, mm-hmm. but he was climbing on the buildings and like dropping down and like fighting me, doing that
Whoa.
Stuff. Like, it that's was cool. super cool. I've had a couple moments where I was like riding, I was on a griffin stabbing it and it went to go fly away and my pawn used heavenly shot and as it was like getting momentum to take off, staggered it and it dropped from the sky with me on it and then my pawn showed back up and we're like, all right, fuck him up. Just started beating the shit out of him.
That's so awesome.
And I was still on him, just stabbing him. Like it's like moments like that. It's like, that's what makes the game so fucking great.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
God,
what a
play
good
Dragon's
time.
Dogma 2 tomorrow, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it is marred by problems, and in a similar way to the
It also
one,
sucks dick.
Yeah,
I agree.
It can.
It's the
it
best
can.
Shit game out there.
Just like DD1, let's go.
Yep, very true. All right, Micah, now it's time for me and you to sell Michael on Helldivers 2.
I'm already sold on it. I want to play the game. I just don't have time. We have too much shit going on.
So Helldivers 2 has continued to be a blast. I've currently dedicated my personal Tuesdays to playing it. Every Tuesday, I'm like, all right, it's Helldiving time, at least. Because every week, there's something new happening. There's a new mission type, a new gun to fire. Oh my god. They released the Quasar laser cannons,
dude.
And they can take down so many fucking bot ships. So fun.
I have the grenade
pistol.
You would have thought Helldivers 2 just came out when they released the Quasar cannon. We were in game with friends and we were shooting down ships and they were spiraling down and crashing and we were just giggling. Like we were like, this is the best. This is the best.
This is the best shit
this
ever.
Is the best. I don't even care if we beat the mission, just keep giving me shit to shoot out of the sky. This is too much fun. Like
they have done such a smart job of introducing problems into the game and then releasing the answer later on.
Yeah, so cool.
Like, hey, you know how you hate this fucking thing? Well, here's this little toy.
Try this
cool,
shit.
Thanks.
The way the
thanks,
devs,
Papa Arrowhead.
Like, are in the community doing things. Like, you guys were explaining to me that there's, like, devs that are watchers. They, like, literally watch a match happen, and they'll just be like, Yeah, you. And they'll drop in something for them. Like, that's crazy. That's not just like a random thing being done by a computer. It's a person doing that.
Yeah, it makes it fun.
Whoa.
And then what's great,
more interpersonal.
And what's great is like that person will then like put a screenshot up and be like, hey, this just happened. And people will be like, dissonance, dissonance in the chat. Like, they'll just like, this is not democratic. We're going to report you. Like, the in-game community of just sticking with the lore and everything has been fucking hilarious. Even the CEO will gaslight fucking people. Like,
it's literally starting your entire game based on like, oh, here's a fun game to play. Also, we're all going to role play. Like, everyone's going to role play.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing. Like, instead of that shit, like back in the day, like I was talking with Micah, well, we were in the middle of a mission actually about this, about how they would have like for Anthem, they would have like these people talking to each other, be like, hey, you're going to take down these enemies over here on the West Wing? Like, yeah, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll use my stealthy super boots to get there or whatever. But in Helldivers, we're just doing that. We're naturally being like, hey, we're going to take this point, and then we're going to run over here, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to hit the extraction, and then we're like, like, we can't have a normal conversation because we're constantly interacting with the game. Like, sometimes we try to talk about shit, and then it's like, oh shit, we got to worry about this charger, we got four bottle titans on our ass, we need a fucking hell bomb. Like,
someone killed someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're yelling at each other about who did it, and like, we...
Yeah. Well, the screen says this, but you say nah.
Nah, I'm out of grenades. I don't even know what you mean. Like,
it's so fucking fun.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And, dude, and
the loadouts are really fun.
Yeah. Everybody can play a part. Like, Kyle, we can almost always count on Kyle to drop in with a mech, which is super handy because at one point he is just sitting there with a giant piece of armor with a minigun and 20 rockets. Or however many the mech drops with.
It's so fucking good.
So it's like, oh, when bug breaches start popping off, you just let Kyle come to the front and he'll just start eliminating everything. And then, like, that'll draw aggro. And, like, you can do smart things. Like, oh, are you trying to defend this objective? Or trying to, like, progress like through a terminal? Two people can run off in the distance and pull all the bugs with them. And all, so that way two other people can, like, figure it out.
Fighting different enemy types requires different loadouts. It's very much like Armored Core, where it's like, oh, I'm going to fight the Terminids. Like, I use my mech every time. Like, I call it in early, and then I usually have enough of a cooldown to call it in a second time at the end of the mission. Like, I use my jetpack. I use my grenade launcher, because it's always important to have grenades when you're fighting
plug
bugs.
Holes, man.
It's just the way it needs to be. And then I use my regular assault rifle with automatons. If I call in my mech, it's getting shot down instantaneously. It is a waste of resources. It is a waste of time. My loadout is entirely different for automatons, and that makes it so much fun, and I can't wait for them to drop a third or fourth enemy type. So I could be like, oh, how do I figure out these guys? Like, what do I have to do against these fuckers?
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
And we know that we know that this game is going to continue to get that support from the dev team, because it is wildly successful, and they're making so much fucking money.
True. And they're doing it right. Like, they dropped a new war bond, which is what they call the battle passes, basically. And I've gotten almost all of the free ones. And the newest one that came out, which was the one that I kind of waited for, I saved up all of my quote-unquote super credits, which I did not pay for. I earned everything I've gotten in the game, got it, and then used all my medals to get all the way to the thing I wanted and fucking got it almost day one.
Like, yeah.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
I remember months ago, even years ago, saying, like, I feel like I haven't found a games as a service that's really got its hooks in me, and this is the one for sure. Then I'm like, I'm going to be playing this one for a little while. And that's very fun. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do with it. I'm excited to see how it evolves. And Mike, will you just play with us?
You going
to
play with us?
I'd love to. I think I got to get through this show that we're going to be playing next month first. I've just got so much to do, and I've been putting off too much of it just because of being sad from work and then wanting to play games and just be selfish with my time. I've just got so much to do.
Don't we all?
You have been playing
however
14 though.
I've been playing a little bit. Like, these last couple weeks have been a lot of like me signing in for like 20-30 minutes into things and being like, I'm too tired, getting off, you know. So.
Goes to the golden saucer, flexes his mounts on the noobs, and fucking bounces. God. All right, I'm out of here.
You're goddamn right. I just got a new mount in 14. It was worth 4 million MGP. I got it, though.
I can't believe I called it so accurately. Oh my god.
Yeah, I finally got the mount that takes 4 million MGP from the Gold Tosser.
Holy shit. Recently.
So I've got the two big ones, the one that took 2 and the one that took 4.
God. Fucking Mr. Moneybags of Chuck E. Cheese over here.
I have no Chuck E. Cheese bucks left, though.
Oh no.
The rat demands sacrifice.
I have no more Chuck E. Cheese
I did what must be done, okay? I played the games. I did the lotteries. I did the fucking little events. I shit on them kids. I did what must be done.
I released the snakes into the ball pits. I'll do it again.
I put the heroin needles in the slides.
Jesus Christ. That's what they did.
So stupid. Anyway, yeah, 14's still fun. It's really like my brain shut off type of game right now, like for sure. If I want to think, I'm playing Dragon's Dogma 2. If I don't want to think, I'm playing 14. So, but really, I've been working on music more than anything. So,
right up.
We got some cool things coming.
We do. I'm excited. We pretty much got our plans for the rest of the year ready to go.
Essentially, yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, we needed to make a 6-month plan, and we fucking did. I'm happy with it.
Now I have a year-long plan. Let's go. Let's go. It's going to be sick. We're going to release some new music next month is the plan. We'll let you know further exactly when that's going to be. We'll probably tease it to you guys first. We usually end up doing that. So.
Yeah. We pretty much have a decent track record of doing that.
Like I had said in the Discord, actually, speaking of, my schedule is changing a little bit, so I'm actually going to get some more free time to do... more podcast stuff. I was going to change it up a little bit, change up the formula, and change up some of the artwork and like freshen up everything now that I actually have some extra free time in life. So that's going to be fun. Maybe
actually
get back into doing some streams with the friends and all that stuff.
This.
Like, yeah, let's bring it back, have some fun with it. We apologize. We've had a lot of like family shit happening between all of us, but trust us when I say everyone here at the Metal Gamers Podcast, including Josh and Joe, we're all doing good. We're doing our best. We're just weathering through the storm of
this,
bullshit right now.
This last year has been rough on pretty much everyone for multiples of reasons. Like, it was a large reason why we took a step away from the podcast and just being busy and sad and all kinds of shit. But everybody is fine in the grand scheme of things. And
yeah, we're all doing good. And shout out to everybody in the Discord for keeping it lively and having fun out there. We're always playing Helldivers or something else. Like, it's cool to see people using
it. The Discord is kind of insanely always popping off still. Like,
yeah, we're all just hanging out. We're all metal gamers out here.
I didn't realize it until I like kind of started trying to scroll through it one day recently, and I was like, there's too much. What is this?
Going. We're all just buddies hanging out. It's a good time. All right. Well, now it's time for the news. For today's news, I don't really know what the fuck's going on anymore in life.
Yeah.
It's been a blur. I've mostly just been enjoying myself. Between now and the last podcast that we recorded, I am now bathed and baptized in the sands of Arrakis. I have seen Mahadeev ride the back of Shai Halud, and I have seen the Lassan Agaib, and I have seen, as written, it has come to be. I'm really into Dune now.
Lassan Agaib!
Lassan Agaib! As written!
Stilgar's the homie?
Yeah. So I read the first book, I watched the first movie, and then I went to see the second movie in theaters, and holy goddamn shit. Is that a good fucking movie? I recommend it.
One of my favorite texts that I've gotten from Kyle in a long time now is a picture of Christopher Walken and Kyle going, I wasn't aware he was in this.
Christopher Walken's in Dune?
Fucking Christ.
That was the best text
I don't think Michael knows. Because I don't know if he's seen it yet.
It's in the trailers. My apologies.
It
is in the trailers. But goddamn, when I was in those theaters, I was not expecting seeing that motherfucker in that movie.
I'm wildly good.
Every time he opened his mouth, I'm just like, it's just you!
It's just Christopher Walken.
It's fucking you! Get out of this fucking movie! Like, I love you to death, dude, and honestly, he's fine.
Great. He does great. That movie is fan fucking tastic. God,
I thought
damn.
It was a meme. I swore I saw it first. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Kyle's looking around like, am I in a meme edit of this movie?
There's no way. It's silly. But anyways, it does the book justice, absolutely. It kind of ends on a point where I'm like, well, I'm curious how they're going to do the next one. They did get renewed for the next one, so doing Messiah. I'm listening through that now. That's fucking crazy, too. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, they said regardless of sales that one, they were going to finish it. Like, I think
so.
I think Denis Villeneuve has just made fans out of the executive producers over there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, of all the franchises to get like some credence and credit, I think that's really fucking cool. I love that, like, we're in an era right now of just like really good cinema, really good TV. I'm honestly surprised with like all of the company layoffs and like protests and so many things over the past few years that we're getting quality stuff like this at all.
Yeah.
But good on people for like finally giving them a chance to be like, hey, do something creative with this rather than force it, you know?
So. Mm-hmm.
Good shit. What else happened in the news? Anything? There's apparently Naoki Yoshida promises that Final Fantasy 14 graphical update will fix characters' lifeless eyes. Thanks, IGN. That sounds stupid.
Well, I can actually explain that a little bit. So they just released the Dawn Trail benchmark, which is a thing they do before every expansion where you get to download what is basically like a in-engine trailer that you run on your computer with different, that you could choose the graphic settings, and it gives you a score at the end based off of the frame rate you were able to obtain on average throughout the entirety of it. You also get to create characters in it to see what new races look like, or just to put your own character in it, or in this case, what the new characters are going to look like after the graphic update that is coming during Dawn Trail. And right now they apparently messed up some shit in the benchmark, and the characters aren't looking like they're supposed to. So they basically have these like dead lifeless eyes characters, and people are actually giving feedback to a lot of the things they have changed on the character creators, and basically being like, hey, we don't really like this, we do like these things. And they're actually taking that feedback, and they're about to release a new benchmark.
Cool.
That's it.
I'm curious. I'm probably going to end up playing Shadow of the Erdtree instead of Dawn Trail.
Fair. I'll probably do the opposite, honestly.
I've been off of the Final Fantasy train for so long. I don't know if getting back on right now is the move.
No.
Even though it looks really fun.
It's just I live on Final Fantasy, so.
Have you guys, in news, do you guys want to talk about some upcoming games or anything? Because I saw,
sure.
I got one that popped up on my radar that I was curious if you guys saw. It was called Jump Ship. No?
What's it called?
Jump Ship. It's a mission-based co-op FPS for up to 4 players, where you are the crew of a spaceship, transition seamlessly from crewing the ship to on-foot exploration and spacewalks, and engage both battles on the ground and in space. So, like, we could be, someone could be piloting the ship, and we could be in a dogfight, and, like, we get hit, and, like, a fire starts somewhere, someone needs to go put the fire out. We can also land, and very much, like, walk around Lethal Company style, and explore, and do shit. Like, it's on Steam, it's in early access.
Yeah,
I'm
looking at it now, yeah. This looks fucking cool.
It's not in early access, but early access is coming up, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely, so, put it on my wish list. Holy shit.
I just want to, when you guys get a minute or two, check out the trailer, just to see what you think. But it popped up on my radar. I thought it'd be a lot of fun.
I'm just looking at the screenshots. Yeah, fuck yeah. Cool. That looks neat.
Yeah.
What else was it? Oh, these articles are actually really funny. I wanted to bring these up. The first article is Helldivers 2 players need to collectively kill 2 billion Terminids, and they are doing a remarkably fast job of it. And then the next article came out a day later saying it took Helldivers 2 players less than 24 hours to kill 2 billion bugs. So that's pretty
incredible.
Fucking cool. People are so rabid over this game. Like, literally on their Discord, like, people were posting screenshots showing that the developers were like, you're meant to fail one of these challenges. Like, they gave, like, 2 huge challenges, and, like, you're supposed to lose ground on one front or the other. Like, you guys either choose to fight the Terminids or you choose to fight
both
the automatons. And so far, it seems like they're just holding shit off. And it's a very funny fight. I think that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, so we crush the 2 billion bugs mark, And then they released the next major order pretty quickly, which was defend 10 planets, which is like you have these two competing bars over a planet that need to be defended that are the ones that are highlighted. And one is how much, one bar is how much we're taking back, and the other bar is how much they're taking back. And dude, it is, those are hard to do because you have to generally play, like, I can't remember how they decide the progression for these things, like, and how you contribute as like a squad, but like, it's tough. This might be the one we fail, and it's been a while since we failed one. Like, we fail like one in every five, maybe.
Yeah, true. It's not bad. I don't know. It's fun.
They probably do that on purpose to make it feel like it genuinely is a push and pull, you know?
Yeah, as it should be.
The wins feel greater when there is loss in between them.
Exactly, yeah.
True.
You're not supposed to win every one, you know? Like, it's a war. Like, you're going to lose.
It's fun.
If you're always winning, then what's the point?
Yeah.
True. What's the struggle?
There is no struggle. You gotta be hungry.
Dude, people are into the narrative.
Like, that's what I was like. It was so weirdly aggravating to think that the automatons were defeated, so you just couldn't play that half of the game anymore for that amount of time.
For like two or three days.
Okay, I just can't fight automatons? Sure, I guess. There's only one mode right now. Let's see. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got revealed.
Yeah,
I saw that. It's crazy.
A lot of people were very excited.
Coming out this year, so that's crazy.
People love the first one. I couldn't get into it.
It's
like,
too in-depth.
Yeah, it's a little too crunchy for me.
Yeah.
I never played it.
It's
I'm
wild.
Curious though. I do have it in my library, if you can believe it or not. It is a part of my, like, I remember Joe getting that like mailed to him because he backed it on Kickstarter. I still don't think he's even opened it.
Nope.
I'm curious though.
I've got all these Final Fantasy games in my fucking library I need to play.
Same.
The OGs.
Well, you and I wanted to do the retrospective of every single Final Fantasy. I still want to do that.
Oh, yeah. Think about it every day before I go to sleep.
Do you?
It upsets me. It haunts me. I'd love to. But we'll see. One day.
Do it, pussy.
Or not.
Oh, wait. You're waiting on me. It's me. It's my fault.
Oh, my God.
Oops.
Is that it for the news? Probably. There's probably a lot of shit that happened that I'm just glazing over. Someone's pissed right now. You didn't talk about the thing. Like, oh well. Can't recall.
I mean, it's been a while since we recorded. A lot of shit's happened.
That's what I'm saying. Well, let's talk about Xbox real quick, because I still think they're doing hilariously bad about things.
Oh, yeah. Like, it recently came out that, like, their shit with Blizzard, they're basically just letting Blizzard be Blizzard, and they're not actually going in there and trying to help fix or maintain anything or steer them on the correct path. They're literally just letting them do the same failures that they've been doing, which I'm like, why the fuck did you spend billions of dollars to just let it fail? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Microsoft doesn't know what they're doing, man.
It is pretty wild to me. I don't know. I still think that, what is it, Hellblade 2? I think that's going to be very, very mid of a game. Like, they keep talking about, like, hey, it's only like 7-8 hours. I'm like, that's cool and all.
Hard to say.
So it's a good 7 or 8 hours. Like,
that better be the most cinematic. That better be better than the fucking Metal Gear Solid 4 cutscenes put together then. Like, 6 to 8 hours for this long and what you've been advertising?
They've been hyping it up for so fucking long, and they kept promising, like, hey, this is gameplay. Or, like, remember, like, oh, look at this gameplay. That's some crazy gameplay. It sounds like it's going to be like The Order 1886.
That's
like,
what
for
a
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Hellblade 1 was like that. It was very, very short, but it was such a tight and interesting story that it ended up doing very well.
But it was also a cheap indie game. Like, they played it as they made it as a small team, and they made it like out of love and passion for doing it, sure. But they've been hyping this thing up for like a long ass fucking time, and now they got some Microsoft backing. Like, I expected it to be bigger. This was like they played that trailer, and then they revealed the Xbox Series X.
Like, that's right. It was like a reveal for the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, like, oh, look at the Xbox. And
now we're halfway through the life cycle
away.
Of the Xbox Series X, and it still not even has a release date.
Well, it does have a release date.
It does, finally?
Like June, I believe. Like, June 20-something.
Holy shit. I missed that. That's my fault.
So, it's coming out real soon.
Dude, June's getting packed.
I've been through, like... Yeah, it might be sooner than that too. I'm not entirely sure. I don't keep up with them too much, but I was like looking over at the kind of funny podcast stuff, because I follow most of them, but the XCast one is the one I don't really listen to, mostly because I don't have an Xbox and I have no reason to listen to it because I know there's no news there to begin with. So I'm just gonna like read off the titles of their latest episodes that they've had since January, it looks like, and what they are. It's the first one they have in January, the state of Xbox exclusives. Like, yes, I agree. Grading the Xbox 2024 Developer Direct, which I don't think was very good. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which was a multi-console thing. Mm-hmm. The breakdown of Xbox's future plans. Are we on board with Xbox's new future? Xbox is missing the biggest game of the year. Grading the 2024 Xbox Partner Preview. The long wait for Fallout 5.
Jesus Christ.
Like, breaking down Phil's big interview. Like, all it is talking about, like, this is what the developer had to say. And also, wow, Xbox actually really doesn't have anything to talk about whatsoever. Like, there's nothing coming out for the thing. There's nothing new to fucking talk about.
I gotta say, it's kind of the same thing for Sony, other than Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. What's, like, the last thing that was really important to the PlayStation? And I actually, sure. like, looked... I actually... somebody linked in an article, like, what games are specifically...
Well, Stellar Blade is coming out next week for PlayStation.
Specifically exclusive games that are only on the PS5, and it is less than 20.
True. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
In fact, in most of those games are really non-important games, I would say. It was an incredibly small list, and I was like, what is the point in owning a console now? Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
However, there is still a significant amount of PlayStation 4 exclusives that, like, don't really...
Yes.
That library is huge as well. Compared to the Xbox, even in the Xbox One generation, there's not a lot of exclusives over there.
Which can be played on the PS5, is that what you're getting at? It's like, the PS5 is, like, still important because it has that backlog.
Right, yeah, Microsoft versus Sony, basically. Like, Sony still has way more exclusives over time than Xbox does. Or Xbox just has, like, here's Halo and Gears, and no one even wants to play Gears anymore.
Yeah, Gears sucks.
With the release of Ghost of Tsushima...
And Starfield.
With the release of Ghost of Tsushima next week, or next month, for PC, that brings with it the PlayStation overlay that you can use now, too.
Oh, yeah, that's some news. That's using a noodle, Micah. Come on. Thanks,
hey,
man.
Thanks. So you can now use a PlayStation overlay. Your trophies and stuff, I think, will be linked.
Yeah, they are.
They are linked. So I think that's really cool. That just tells me we're getting closer and closer to day and date with, like...
The synchronicity. Yeah, yeah,
like,
it's happening.
They need to do it. Like, you need to do it. Like... It's crazy. Like,
The next generation of PlayStation and Xbox needs to just be a PC tower that says either Xbox or PlayStation on it. Be like, it plays the games the best. Also, you can go on the internet with it and download, like, Office stuff if you need to.
You can also use Steam. Like,
you can email your friends. That's the new feature.
That's a hilarious concept to me, is, like, Sony building, like, what is essentially an Alienware PC, just like a pre-built PC, or Microsoft doing that, too. Yeah,
that's essentially what they are.
That's
got to
be the new
affordable.
Well, you get into a new naming convention. You can get away from going to PS6 next or PS7. Like, basically make
it. Look at iPhone.
Tower.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, the PlayStation 6 is just a PC tower.
Keep it numerical, man. Don't go the route of fucking Microsoft with their stupid ass naming convention. Jesus fucking
so fast. Like, I felt like Microsoft was, like, getting out, like, riding the bike with their fucking, like, training wheels on, and then, like, they took the training wheels off and were like 360, and everyone's like, be careful. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's gonna get weird. It's gonna get weird real quick.
And fucking were like, Xbox One, and they immediately ate shit, fell on their fucking face, like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Xbox Series. Is that Xbox One X or Xbox Series X? Oh, you're fucking... Just bury this kid. Oh, my God.
That's the literal Peter Griffin stick in the wheel. Like, you did this to yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Who did this?
Yeah. Which one of you cowards shit in my britches?
I've got...
Hannibal?
I have something we could talk about. Larian deciding to move away from Wizards of the Coast and go back to their own IPs.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying fuck you to the Wizards of the Coast. Not really. They were actually like really nice and sweet about it.
It's
they're just like, we just don't want to do it. We tried to do DLC in the past and we just can't fucking do it. Which I think is very earnest and interesting.
I think it was just a very professional way for them to say that they don't agree with the way Wizards of the Coast is laying off all of their staff and the weird business practices they're doing. And they're just like, yeah, we should probably get away from this. And as well as they don't want to be known as the Baldur's Gate company. They want to move on and do what is special to them, which are the IPs that they already make as well.
Can we just talk
makes me incredibly excited to see what they're doing next.
Can we just talk about how fucked the next studio is that tries to take this over?
Oh yeah. Because Wizards of the Coast literally said, like, "Hey, we're taking in like applications for Baldur's Gate 4. They're looking to turn that fucking name around." Yeah, who the fuck could do it?
So
no one could do it.
So my problem steps up and like, "We're doing it. We'll do it. We did the first two."
No.
The community might revolt.
Jesus.
So
bar them from it. Dude. Jesus Christ.
Well, so my thing is
where's Dragon Age?
I think Andy Cortez and Blessing talked about this, and they said it well. There's plenty of studios that can do it. It's that no publisher is going to have the patience.
No one's got
to let that hold. Like no publisher's going to give them money for 7 years.
Yeah, and like Larian spent so much time on that game.
Early access was 3 years alone, and so like how long were they developing before that? Like, it's just
give it to FromSoft.
No, because like no publisher's going to give them the time to do it. You know, like. Well, I don't know. You know what? You're right, because Elden Ring was in development for like 6 fucking years. So, like, I guess that makes sense. But no, I don't want FromSoft to do Baldur's Gate. They need to do their own. They need more Armored Core.
I just think it would be hilarious to see Baldur's Gate in, like, it go from this one thing to very much a dark fantasy where no one fucking talks and shit.
Bad fucking idea. Shut up.
But I did it with Pinocchio. Come on.
FromSoft didn't do that.
Well, I know, but the people, you know.
So Kyle got me super excited when we were talking about this in Discord the other day.
Oh yeah, I did.
Because you had brought up, you were like, you think they're doing their own IP, which I think they did say, but then you speculated that they might be doing Cyberpunk or something.
Yeah. Well, like Cyberpunk, either the brand, like, oh, you can actually do Cyberpunk, or something along the lines of like.
Sci-fi,
a literal cyberpunk theme,
that would
like a
be
trash science fiction
nuts
thing.
If they got into cyberpunk, because imagine that style of like a Divinity or Baldur's Gate style of game in cyberpunk, and
they just play like XCOM.
And it's not so even this isn't even like a slight at like Cyberpunk 2077, which is now apparently a fucking fantastic first-person RPG. Apparently, is doing very well again. I'm happy to hear it, but like, imagine just how fucking insane Larian doing a cyberpunk like tactical RPG would be. Holy shit.
It'd be so
good. Oh my
be so
god.
Good.
I demand it. I crave it.
But just a Divinity Original Sin 3 would also make me super happy. Like, cause
that's gotta be
I'm so excited
incredible.
To see what that will look like.
They
I
learned
if it'll
so
look
much.
As good as Baldur's Gate 3.
It will.
I really think hope so. They do this over the like this closer up version of Divinity.
Yeah.
Cause like isometric Divinity was fine. But like the close up like version of an RPG like this did something really special
so
to that formula.
Yeah, it's really really good. And if they did it in that style, and I really hope they do, like it would honestly hit me right in the fucking feels to play Divinity 3. Because playing through all the way through 1 and 2, like I actually have like a connection to that shit now. So I'm like super excited to see what they do.
My dream scenario now. Is that because Larian has brought back the kind of isometric RPG thing, like phase, is for them to get Fallout and let them do.
Yeah, that'd be sick too.
Them do like a small Fallout tactics again because there's already one. So
it was bad.
I'm not saying it was good, but like it, something they could do not is like in depth, but like
What if they did a remake of 1 or 2?
Beautiful. That'd be amazing. Cool. Yeah,
that would be sick. Whatever Larian does, I'm on board for. You know, Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2 were excellent, like A-plus games. Baldur's Gate 3 is an S-plus game. Oh, and they're still updating it. What, they just put up patch 7, which released all these new endings and shit?
Yeah.
Like, what the
fuck, dude?
They're
going to support
it
forever, man.
I doubt they're going to support it forever, but like the fact that they've continued to support it for this long... is yeah. insane. And they just basically keep giving people reasons to play through it again.
Yeah.
We have, we work with somebody that has played the game like fucking 15 times at this point. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it again. Because they just added new endings. I'm doing it one more time. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, it's their like, fans love the game, and the developers love their fans. It works out.
Well, it's cool. Who could have thought? It's one thing to like go through the game so many times. It's like, oh, I'm going to do this different race, and this different class, and this different race, and this different class. Eventually, you could just be like, I'm going to go through the game as Gale, or as Astarion, or Karlag.
Yeah.
You could just be one of these origin characters, and you get cutscenes and little things that you don't get if you're not playing them. So it's like, there's things there that I haven't seen because I've not played as any of the origin characters. Like, I think that's cool as fuck. Like, that's so cool, man. Fuck.
It's such an in-depth game that is such a love.
Yeah.
Like, a passion project, you know, made of genuine love.
It's great because it scratches so many
itches. I wish we could
get
more of that.
It scratches, like, the RPG itch, the tactics itch, like, the role-playing. Like, you can just fire that game up and get whatever you want from it.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like I can feel like the energy of Double T before he even hears this, being like, why is nobody talking about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
Because I can only stand so much cringe-ass dialogue and characterization before I literally can't interact with the game anymore.
The real reason is because Kyle and I haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm curious to hear Micah's opinions, but I want to play it first.
I mean, in the news, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is a quote-unquote struggling in sales, which, honestly, I'm not fucking surprised. It's a sequel to a game that's not finished.
I thought it was doing really well. Yeah,
it's, I guess well, it according to, you know, Square Enix has, like, very lofty fucking, like, expectations for their games, and they always say shit like that, but...
This is a prime example of why Sony and other companies are always trying, well, not anymore, trying to chase live service. Because the game sales start super strong, and then they dip because everyone who was gonna buy it fucking bought it. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That is how this works. Like, it's just everyone
It's really
thinks,
rare that games have, like, a second wave.
Yeah, and that's...
And also, like the remake released on the PlayStation 4, which the install base was significantly bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more people had a PlayStation 4s than people have PlayStation 5s now. And it was also released during COVID, where everyone was like, well, I'm at home. I'm probably going to play a video game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so this game is going to come out probably with less sales than there were, especially with all the other games that are out right now. Like, people are, like you said, people are still playing Baldur's Gate 3. Like,
people
are pretty content with what they got.
Well, you also
depending on who... Go ahead.
You also need to think, like, there's millions of sales you're denying yourself because you've been trying to hang on to console exclusivity. Like, once Rebirth comes out
contracts.
On PC, it's going to pop again, which is great. You always want, like, some kind of... If you can get a second wind, that's, like, the only way you can get it. But some games for Sony need to be day and date. And, like, the amount of Final Fantasy games available on PC, which is, you know, pretty much fucking all of them, like, don't deny where a huge amount of your fan base lives. Like, people,
true.
Like, it's just wild to me. So,
it's actually one of the reasons I haven't picked up Rebirth is I want to play games on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a love to play games on the PS5 right now. I like being in my office and, like, in my comfy chair and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with the couch gate, like, playing games, but, like, it's a shared TV in my house. I don't want to take that up all the time. Yeah. I have my own space for video games. So it's like...
Fair enough.
It's a large part of why it is. So it's like, there's a reason... that's, for me, that's probably a shared experience for a lot of people why they haven't played it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... Just put it on a PC.
Yeah.
Please.
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 Please. Please.
Help me help you.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it really just depends on who you ask to see if it's a success or not. It's kind of the same thing that Armored Core went through, where they're like, Armored Core 6 is a failure because it only sold several million copies, and then the next article is like, Armored Core outsold expectations by shitloads, which is actually the true story. And it's probably somewhere in the middle between those two for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, honestly. And then again, it depends on who you ask. People are saying it's like it's a slog to play through because there's too much filler, like mini games and shit like that. Apparently, there's just fucking every step there's a new one, which sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
But then there's the other half of that where people are saying it's a goddamn masterpiece and like one of the best games I've ever played. So
Queen's Blood is fun.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, their card game they've made is pretty interesting.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yep.
Mayhaps one day I shall see it.
I will play it for sure. Final Fantasy VII is one of my, or not seven, but like Final Fantasy is my top three franchises ever for me. So like I will play it.
This is a big, big game.
Big
for
game.
A big, big boy.
But I had to play Dragon's Dogma 2 first because I was way more excited about that.
True, which hard
still
to say.
Am.
Stardew Valley is 1.6.4 patches here, and apparently it's fucking huge. So apparently there's another giant patch for Stardew Valley.
Yeah, well, he did 1.6, which was ginormous, and then he's released four more patches that keep adding more shit.
God.
Like, the Concerned Ape is just insane. Like, the guy is supposed to be working on Haunted, the Haunted Chocolatier, or whatever the fuck it is. And...
Yep.
Which everybody's very excited about, but he keeps coming back to Stardew to like take breaks from Haunted Chocolatier to just dump more content into Stardew Valley for some fucking reason. And people are just eating it shit up. Is like, yep, another playthrough Stardew. Fuck it. I'll do it.
God damn.
I'll do it again.
I still haven't really played through it, and I feel like I can't ever start because it's never going to be done. I'm like, I might as well just wait until he's done with it.
Genuinely, I think this is like the last patch cycle he's ever going to do for it.
Likely tale.
Well, he said for 1.5 as well, but I genuinely
I'll start playing it when
that,
the Haunted Chocolatier comes out.
That's what I was about to say. Just wait till Haunted Chocolatier comes out and then play Stardew Valley, because by the
Surely
time you're done with
now.
That, Haunted Chocolatier will be in like 1.3 and you'll have all this new content.
Yeah, it'd be great. This is my favorite piece of news so far. Ezio Auditore skin is coming to For Honor. Let's go.
I thought you were about to say Fortnite.
He's probably already in Fortnite.
He probably already in Fortnite.
Yeah, I have no idea. But the fact that he's coming to For Honor, I think it's fucking hilarious.
Honestly, it's kind of sick.
Okay.
I hope For Honor outlives Fortnite somehow and just becomes the next
Yeah, somehow. Just, the underground. Yeah. Like, fucking, no, the kids actually love For Honor.
Yeah, once you hit
Fortnite.
A certain age, you quit playing Fortnite, you go to the underground, you play, start playing For Honor.
There's only two types
dude,
of kids.
How you, can you...
You age out a little lamplight and then go play For Honor.
I mean, dude, talk about beating a dead fucking horse. Ubisoft will just keep pushing this thing down the fucking road.
People love For Honor.
Yeah, it's still actually pretty good, like a pretty lively server. That's why they keep putting shit in it. Like I remember playing it back in the day where you actually had to defend a base with Ezio Auditore. Like he was in it. But
the
now they actually has a skin, so that's pretty fun. Like, fuck, I love that game.
The main reason
I even love
I
like how much misery it brought Josh.
Oh my god, yeah. The main reason I don't like playing the game is because it's gear score based. So if you play the game a lot, you have an immense amount.
I don't think it is
of...
anymore, actually.
Okay,
so,
that's
like,
true.
Now
that's
that
huge.
It's been such a long fucking game that they're like, well, we have to change the balancing system altogether because like we can't have newbies coming in and fighting people that have been playing for 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's what was happening to us. We were like, oh, fuck yeah, For Honor. We played this game when it first released and we were really good at it. Let's get back into it. And then we got fucking dog shit, like, trampled constantly by people who had, like, paid money or just had a shitload of gear score because they've been playing the game for fucking 6 years, and it's like, it was
And also
not
that,
fun.
Like, broken fighting game skill that you get from playing it for that long and being super sweaty. Because, like,
exactly,
it is a very competitive game. I actually remember reading, like, an article, like, it was last year, so I don't know if this is still the same thing, but they were, like, most toxic communities, and For Honor ended up being number one.
I believe
I was like,
that.
Oh, holy shit.
Dude, people
I had no
get
idea.
Fucking mad. Just see what happened to Josh. Exhibit A.
Dude, well, yeah,
Skyrim
now,
was pretty high up there, too.
It might
weird,
not be about
whatever.
Gear score anymore, but it is just that it is the fighting style skill where it's like, this person knows how to play this class so well, you don't know what's coming and when. Like, you could. There are feints in the game. So, like,
yeah,
you could like you could
faints.
Just get wrecked.
But like, so skill on top of a higher gear score makes it fucking impossible, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
I could eventually get good and start matching, you know, or getting close. I can't get over that gear score hump if I'm not playing the game constantly.
I did.
But I can hop in, honestly, and pick my Orochi like class and pick it up pretty good. But I still honestly probably have high level gear to begin with.
Newer classes were wildly unbalanced based on the original vanilla classes. Like,
that's just how it is anymore. DLC classes get a buff for a little while. Yeah. That's just how it is in any game, even fighting games. Like Eddie Gordo in Tekken 8. We didn't talk about that, but he's in there now. And everyone's just hitting like the same kick button over and over again and winning the game because that's just how it works.
It was the same thing with Leroy when he first came out in Tekken 7. He was OP as fuck.
Yep.
Wildly unbalanced. I think they do that shit on purpose to get people to play that new character and buy that new character, and then they balance it out, and then it's just normal roster again.
Yep. Pretty much. They're like, oh, I'll just put him out broken, and then we'll fix him over time and be like, oh, sorry.
It's not that they don't know how to balance a game. They do. They do.
They do. So
I think they do. They do, mate. They do, mate. Fucking truth. It's fucking oath.
Fucking oath.
Like, they ain't out here to fuck spiders, mate. They know what they're doing.
They fucking got that Eddie Gordo in there. He's gonna whip your ass. Anyways, I don't know what's happening. Akuma's coming to Street Fighter 6, and he's gonna break that game too for multiple reasons. My favorite glass cannon. I can't wait. Still got the big lion mane beard. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. I haven't played that game in a little while, though, so it's kind of a bummer.
I haven't played Tekken either. The servers are kind
of a lot of shit. It was also broken for a little while. They released a patch, like I was telling you, that your opponent could move during your rage art, so you would activate your rage art and your opponent would just get out of the way. I'm like, you're supposed to be frozen in time right now, but okay.
Stone cold and frozen in time.
That's like if Neo like thought he was stopping time, but everyone just kept moving.
I would watch that movie. He comes out of the Matrix, he's like, Trinity, I don't understand!
Dude, just a parody of The Matrix, but it's just a guy who's mentally ill. Just like videotape it from like the sidewalk. Like, this guy's going crazy.
You've been following me?
He's got arrested at the bank.
A Matrix parody is just a homeless man.
My name's Neo. I'm the one. All right, sir.
All right, go back under the bridge.
Get in the car.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Sorry, that's...
I got a million-dollar movie idea. Let's go. Make it real sad. Just put some piano behind it.
Don't make it sad.
I want to win an Oscar or something, whatever they're called.
You're not in that phase of your directing yet.
All right, we'll figure it out. Is there any other news? Probably not. Probably, actually. But I don't want to talk about it.
Should have been bigger news then.
All right, so yeah, that's it for the Metal Gamers Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Maybe. We'll see.
Go to Patreon. Maybe I'll leave you some extra treats over there. I'm thinking about it. But wait until I actually do it. Let me do it for like a month and earn your trust back and give me
just
all
your
money.
Just know, we haven't posted shit to the Patreon in a while, so...
like anything
that,
at all, so yeah.
Do that at your own, like...
I made think,
yeah, consider that.
It's basically a tip at this point.
We're talking about getting back into it, but...
Have we done it? No. Have we ever? No. Will we?
No. I wanted to get back into doing like card games and shit for the Patreon if we were to start doing this again, so...
Listen to metal, play some video games, get fucked. All right.
Do a kickflip! Do it!
Hola. Me has atrapado. En medio, suavemente. Te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor. Disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno. Viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón. Es tiempo de suavemente. Te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre. La luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave. Las estrellas brillarán intensamente. Todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es. Suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces. Suavemente multiplicado por otro millón. Disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno. Viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente. Te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre. La luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave. Las estrellas brillarán intensamente. Todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es. Suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces. Suavemente multiplicado por otro millón. Te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor. Disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno. Viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente. Te das cuenta cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre la luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave, las estrellas brillarán intensamente, todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es, suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces, suavemente multiplicado por otro millón, te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor, disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno, viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente, te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre la luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave, las estrellas brillarán intensamente, todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es, suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces, suavemente multiplicado por otro millón, te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor, disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno, viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente, te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre la luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave, las estrellas brillarán intensamente, todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es, suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces, suavemente multiplicado por otro millón, disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno, viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente, te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre la luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave, las estrellas brillarán intensamente, todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es, suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces, suavemente multiplicado por otro millón, te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor, disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno, viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón, es tiempo de suavemente, te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre la luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave, las estrellas brillarán intensamente, todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es, suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces, suavemente multiplicado por otro millón, jajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajajaj cumple con los derechos de autor. Disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno. Viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón. Es tiempo de suavemente. Te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre. La luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave. Las estrellas brillarán intensamente. Todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es. Suavemente de nuevo un millón de veces. Suavemente multiplicado por otro millón. Te traigo mi suave. Regresé de entre los muertos con música de YouTube que cumple con los derechos de autor. Disfruta de la gloriosa suavidad conmigo bajo mi gobierno. Viviremos a mil suavemente mi corazón. Es tiempo de suavemente. Te das cuenta de que suavemente es para siempre. La luna y el sol morirán, pero la suavidad es suave. Las estrellas brillarán intensamente. Todos sabrán suavemente lo que suave es. Suave, suave.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the idea of Mike barking at you from like dude. Have we ever experienced that? Have any of you guys ever experienced like somebody like
booing you or like
heckling you while you're on stage?
Yeah, in my old like punk band here from yesterday back in the day. Yeah, like totally. Like we were dog shit, and people would be like, boo.
Really?
That's how Mike developed that thick skin of his.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot. It only happened like once or twice, but I remember people just being like, okay, guys, that sure was, wasn't it?
Mike just parries that shit and then does double damage back. Like, whoever's insulting him. Boo, you got a sucker. God. Fuck you! Holy shit. I'm out of here.
Come here, boy. I'll suck that dick right now.
We definitely played at least one show where people were like awkwardly silent, and deservedly so. It was a terrible show.
Is that the Roadhouse show?
For me, no. It's always going to be the. It's always going to be the UNF show. The really? UNF show's got to be one of the dumbest shows we've ever played. We played Jesus in a fucking Christ. Cafeteria, essentially, and after we got done playing, one dude went woo woo. It was after Rock Paper Blasphemy, so just the way it ends, it's like
we gave it our all. Yeah, like, I mean, we crushed it. We pulled no punches. Like I was like trying to get these people excited about what we were doing, and
they were trying to study and eat.
I don't know. It was one of those. We were playing in a place we shouldn't have been.
Yeah, you actually have a picture of that show on your wall, which is
I love it. It's a good picture. It was a fun time.
Yeah. Kyle, what was the show you were thinking of though?
Zombie walk.
I wasn't there for that or the UNF show.
Yeah, Micah was there for that one. Do you remember that show, Zombie Walk show, with two people that we shouldn't have been playing in a band with at all?
Oh yeah,
you like blocked that one out. Like,
that's like a little generation of Grey's Gunner where I'm like,
That was like the mysterious charity third work. Singer of Van Halen happened, and people were like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, we had that bassist and that drummer. Oh my god,
that was a bad time. That was a huge waste of time.
That's what happens when you tap the music scene in your local city and there's nothing left.
Oh my god, rough times.
Oh well.
Before we go, I'm going to talk to you guys about this Power Rangers binge I've been going on. All right. Oh,
are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm getting back into the comic books. They're really fucking good. I'm going through the prequel series right now. So here's what the comic books do. There's a prequel series. There's a main series called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. At the end of that series, it splits into Mighty Morphin as a series and Power Rangers as another series. They are two parallel comic books that you have to read both of, where the story literally splits into two, where you have the OG Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and who are now known as the Omega Rangers, the last Power Rangers of all time. It was very interesting. I like it. It's very good. And now it's coming back together as another Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book series.
That's
cool.
So dope, dude.
That's
it's
so
really,
awesome.
Really good and very, very interesting. I've been attempting to go back through the TV show. Mostly because I want to recognize, like, because all the characters are actually based off the characters in the show and stuff, and I just wanted to catch, like, some of the references. And so what I've been doing is looking up the five best episodes of each season, so I'm not watching all this shit, because so much of it is fucking god-awful. Yeah. It's a kid's show.
Even
about
the five best
stupid
are, is a stretch.
Shit. But I'm curious, because, like, Power Rangers got bounced, like, to Disney for a while and bounced back to like Nickelodeon and other shit, like, so it's gone all over the place, and like some people had bigger budgets than others, and I've never seen a lot of that shit. Most of it's kind of slocky, but like so far I've gotten to the Power Rangers Turbo movie.
Whoa.
The Power Rangers Turbo movie is the biggest pile of dog shit I've ever seen in my fucking life. I remember it as a kid, and like I remember watching it. Don't remember a second of it, though.
You know, the Turbo movie, not the 1995 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Because the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie is pretty good.
Yeah, I have news.
It's actually wildly entertaining. There's a lot in it that's really fun, and they obviously put a lot of money and heart into it. Mm-hmm. Turbo is god awful. Like, I don't know if it came to theaters. I really don't fucking know.
It did, because I watched it at theaters. We had a VHS of it.
Whoa.
I still have the VHS of it, actually.
Whoa.
I was surprised by how much I remembered of it, because we were talking about it and I was reminiscing about things I remembered, and he's like, "You remember like half the fucking movie."
Yeah, you remember like, more of it than I thought.
Like, Mike's like, "I gotta get that out of there."
The whole concept is that these Rangers are now driving cars that come together as a giant robot and beat shit up, right? But for some reason, 95% of the movie takes place underwater or on a pirate ship. I'm like, what the fuck? Or, like, there's so much water happening, and the story is so broken the fuck up and makes no goddamn sense, and it sucks. It's just bad. I don't know. It made me, like, not interested. I'm like, this is exactly where I stopped liking Power Rangers when I was a kid, and now it makes a lot of sense. Like, oh, I hated that. That's what happened. That's why I stopped liking it, like, literally right around there. Because what comes after Turbo, I have no fucking idea. Space? I don't know. Sure.
They're already in space.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, dumbass.
Holy shit.
They're in space.
Fucking idiot.
Man, with some spies. Goofy ass shit.
Spies!
But also, the funniest thing about the TV show to me is knowing that I watched all the episodes where they had to transfer actors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, these 30 Power Rangers have to go home now.
They're going to college.
Their contracts ended.
We got some new guys. That's literally what happened to most of them. But every time there's one of those episodes, you can see like the fear of losing their job in their eyes when they're acting out those moments. They're like, goodbye. And they're like, bye.
They're like, I'm never going to work again. This is not going to work out.
Like, I can't work. Oh, this fucking sucks. I got fired for being a Power Ranger.
They did that for the first Power Rangers movie. Three of the original show actors weren't in the movie because they tried to renegotiate their contract.
Yeah. That it happened within the series.
Well, that's
and
because
by the time
the movie was
rolled
ready.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh my God.
Brutal. Brutal out there, dude.
It's so funny too, because the guy who ended up playing Rocky like got cucked so hard out of this series. I've never seen. I felt so bad for him because he replaced the original Red Ranger, right?
Yeah.
He was the second person to be a Red Ranger, and then the next series, Tommy, Jason David Frank became the new Red Ranger for Neo, and so Rocky got cucked right over to Blue Ranger.
God, and, Blue Ranger,
and fuck. then Turbo Ranger or Turbo came out, right? Mm-hmm. And he got cucked by the kid. Who was turned into a Power Ranger. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No way.
Like, yeah, it's like a 12-year-old
like,
kid.
You're the Blue Ranger
kid.
Now. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, when he,
it's terrible.
When he morphs, he's a full-grown adult.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
It's so
Stuntman,
fucking
you know,
stupid.
Yeah.
Turbo fucking sucks.
And they did it for the whole season until the middle of the season. They changed everybody in the entire party out with brand new people. Everyone who was a Power Ranger was out. Brand new people were in, except for the kid. The kid gets to stay. It's fucking, oh my God.
Dude.
Once again, a golden episode of people looking super disappointed in their career choices.
If you guys ever watch Heavy Spoilers on YouTube, they just did a breakdown of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. But now Kyle has got me going back. I'm like, I'm about to watch like a 40-minute video on the timeline of Power Rangers. Like, I'm about to.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
It's
yeah,
goofy
right?
as shit. The comic is super cool. I wish they would just like do like an anime of it or something. Like,
yeah.
That follows the comic books.
Yeah.
Like, the video game followed the comic books, and it was really fucking good.
Dude, Amazon.
So.
They are doing that, doing an animation for that one, right? The,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
The Go-Go Loser Power Ranger? Yeah.
Yeah, the Loser Rangers, yeah.
Which is weird because it's literally a Japanese adaptation of the Power Rangers in manga form, and they're going to make an anime out of that.
Huh.
The premise is so cool, though. I'll probably watch
it. Neat. It's very neat. I'm excited about it. Hopefully, that'll be the gateway to more nostalgic R-rated kids stuff, which I think is really cool. Maybe that Avatar. I wonder how that Avatar cartoon is going to be next year. Is that supposed to be next year?
Avatar
cartoon?
Yeah, they're working on another production of Avatar.
Nothing's been announced for release dates. They've told us that they have the Avatar Kyoshi series that they did the books for. That's getting animated. They have they have the next Avatar after Korra animation series being animated, and then they have a short series, like a single season series for the Avatar Aang gang as adults. Yeah, I'm excited for everything. And then a fourth unannounced one, apparently. Like, there's a whole studio with several teams working on many projects for Avatar right now. So
damn.
Yeah,
have you guys
cool.
been
excited
have you guys been watching
excited
Shogun?
No,
I've heard it's great.
No, I'm gonna binge it.
Okay, yeah, it's really good.
I've heard it's absolutely amazing. Like, it's like, I've heard it's like Game of Thrones if it was only focusing on a single family.
Yeah It's really good.
Good. That sounds awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like must-watch TV.
It is.
I'll get around to eventually. I'm just waiting until it's done, and then I'll subscribe.
One
to
more
Hulu,
episode.
Watch it all. Probably subscribe. One more.
Yep. Last episode next week.
Cool.
I'll do what I did
with Invincible. So
I'll do what I did with fucking Game of Thrones and watch it like fucking 10 years later.
All right.
It all works out. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody.
where does that go in the episode?
I don't know.
Whatever.